بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات، إنك مجيب الدعوات، إنك قاضي الحاجات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. صلوات الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، وصلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين، أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله العلي العظيم. I offer my condolence and tasliyat to his brother موجود here, whose father died and passed away in Iraq last week. And I have been holding a Fatiha for him, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his rahmat and mercy upon the deceased, and give patience and forbearance to the family to go through these difficult times. And we would send the sawab of this majlis also to marhum. We have been discussing some issues related to holy month of Ramadan and some tafsir of small surahs, of short surahs of Holy Quran. Today I will speak about Suratul Asr and some topics related to some of the concepts mentioned in this surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, with the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. This ayah of Holy Quran has come 114 times in Holy Quran. And the insistence on starting everything with the name of Allah is found in hadith very much. That in this madmun, the ayat, the riwayat we have, that kullu amrin lam yubda bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim fahuwa abtar. Anything that is not started with the name of Allah is abtar. That means will have no conclusion, no result, no advantage, benefit. I will translate this surah and go into some of the meanings and messages of this surah. Before that, I'll just mention this one statement, that this surah, because of what contains in this surah, is like the gist of the Holy Quran and the gist of what Islam stood for and stands for. Wal Asr, by the age. Asr means an age of, and duration of time, a certain age. Certainly, human being is in a loss, except those who believed and performed good actions, righteous actions, and they gave advice to each other regarding the truth, and they advised each other regarding patience. Well, Asr, what is the meaning of Asr? Asr means an age. The time, the word Asr is also used for example, the time of Asr, afternoon time. Also called Salatul Asr, For example, we have five prayers a day. This is a prayer called Asr prayer. Alaykum salam. And we have Asr, it's referring to some period of time. The more, you know, credible view on this subject is that Asr and the age to which Quran is referring here is the age of the rise of Islam. The age of the Holy Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The time in which he stood up for Haqq, and Haqq gained victory over Batil. That is the Asr, wal Asri. Alaykum salam. That period of time is so important and so significant in the history of this world that Allah uses this Qasam, wal Asri. Naturally, with this kind of Qasam, you will expect that what is being mentioned after Jawab al-Qasam, what is coming after this Qasam, is also very significant and very important. Innal insana lafi khusr. Human being is in a loss. Human beings, their biggest capital is their life, their lives. The life that we have in this world is the biggest capital we have. To save our life, we can give everything. We are willing, for example, if we have to choose between living, you know, or giving up everything else, we'll say, okay, we'll give up everything else to stay alive. I mean, a lot of people are like that. So, innal insana lafi khusr, certainly human being is in a loss. Khusrin, it doesn't say fil khusr. Khusrin means, alaykum salam, a great loss. It is to show the, you know, mubalagha fil khusr, fil khusran. It is a great loss, not just any loss. Another thing is that in the insana lafi khusr, human being is in a loss. Not like his wealth is in a loss, you know. For example, financial loss, or some other loss. It is saying the human being himself is in a loss. That means human as human, his existence in this world, with whatever capital he has, you know, he is losing all this. The transaction he's getting in, he's on the side which is losing. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those who believe and those who did salih actions. عَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Iman and عَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ is further described. For example, عَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, good actions, include what comes after. تَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ تَوَاسَوْ بِالْسَّبْرِ. They give advice to each other. They give advice to each other. To stay on haqq, and they give advice to each other to be patient. Well, amal al-salihat includes that. Those are part of the amal al-salihat, but they have been mentioned separately in this surah because of the importance they have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned these two, tawasaw bil haqq and tawasaw bil sabr, separately. Although they are contained, they are included in amal al-salihat. Naturally, the issue of haqq is so important. And then staying, so following the haqq, right? And then advising each other and making sure that whatever challenges come because of staying on haqq are faced with sabr. Because naturally, finding haqq is not easy, and staying on the path of haqq is also not easy. So these are the two prominent, very prominent qualities of the believers. Those who have this are being said that these are illa alladhina amanu. Those who don't have this quality, right, they are not amanu and they are not amalus salihat. Salihat, salih, saluha, you know, her, not every action is amal salih. Not every good action is amal salih. These people, you know, they work, do community service, they serve humanity, they, you know, feed the hungry. A lot of good things people do around us, not amongst us. People are outside our community, you see them, they are so charitable, philanthropic, they are raising money for providing water to some poor places, you know, feeding the hungry, providing education, volunteer. The volunteering is a big thing in this country, right? They go ahead and volunteer in so many different things. It is a good action, but it is not amal salih in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is amal khair, it is a good action, but it is not amal salih. It is not an action that has qualified, you know, qualified in the eyes of Allah. It does not, they do not qualify in the eyes of Allah. Good actions done in this dunya by people who don't believe in all this stuff, these good actions carry benefits for them. They will receive those benefits. They will receive respect and honor, right? They do get barakat in their wealth because they are so charitable. They do get a lot of benefits by being charitable. It's not like you're saying, what do they get? Well, they get a lot by being charitable, by being philanthropic, by being kind to people, right? Goodness given comes back to the person too. In this dunya, naturally, everyone who does good will get a benefit of this. But it is not amal-e-salih necessarily. Amal-e-salih requires two conditions. First condition is niyat. Niyat is a primary condition. Niyat means you believe that, you know, you have a connection with the Creator, and the action you do is for Him. To be close to Him, you are doing this action. You're not just doing it because you feel, for example, it is a good action. You're not just doing it because you feel pity for other people, poor people, right? You're doing it because you feel that this good action will bring me closer to my Creator. That is why you are doing it. The reward of the other life, akhirah, depends on this niyat. If a person doesn't believe there is a God, doesn't believe in a Creator, how can he expect that Creator to reward him for something he has not even done? He has not done it for the akhirah. He did it for his dunya. And who knows why he did it? We jump to conclusions very fast. Whether, especially about other people, you know. And we, both negative and positive, we discount sometimes the good things we do, and we say, well, those other people do better than us. Alhamdulillah, so much good things being done right here in this community that you all, mashallah, are doing. We don't underestimate this and protect it and keep it on the right path and, you know, continue growing, inshallah. As far as other people, what the good thing they do, well, they do get benefits of this. You see them. They are world power, right? They have all the capital that they want. They have media, they have everything. So they are getting the benefit of the good thing they do. Do they expect to get something in akhirat? That's a separate story. That doesn't come with the fame and fortune of this life. That's a totally different story. Because the goodness is good because we understand it. And how do we understand it? Because of the aql that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it. So we should be thankful and shakir on the ni'mat that Allah has given us to be able to do the good action. By me denying God and doing good action and feeling proud of myself, you see, I'm losing. This is also a khusran, that a person receives a ni'mat and completely forgets about it and says, I did the good action. Become an atheist and say, I do good actions. Why do I have to be a believer to do good actions? I understand goodness. How do you understand goodness? Somebody enables you to understand it. You were not able to recognize Him, believe in Him. The goodness comes, the goodness, you know, of course there are actions that are good, but a person needs to know this is a good action, this is a bad action. How do I know? How do I have this ability to understand this action is good and that action is bad? So if I do a good action, I am being good to myself. And if I do it with the good intention, I am thankful to the Creator who created me and enabled me to do this good action. So there's so many thanks involved in doing a good action. This is the first condition, niyat. The second is recognition of what is an amal-e-salih. Not everything I think, not everything which I find good is good at every time. I have to know, for example, what are the things that are always good. For example, Hajj, fasting in Ramadan, praying, all of these things are always good. Now there are people who are exempted from these things because they are sick or they are traveling. A person who doesn't have the means, he doesn't have to go to Hajj. Right? These are amal-e-salih described by Shariat, otherwise I would not have known them. These are some of those things, and the other things are known, as I mentioned, that because of the understanding that we have, that we are able to distinguish between right and wrong. So with niyat of taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person gains the sawab in this dunya and akhirat. And sawab means he becomes a better human being. That means his aql increases. Sawab, this is what sawab means. When you say sawab to a child, you know, he says, thinks he's getting a candy or something. Now we are grown up, mashallah. We understand, we should look for something really meaningful. Sawab, we are human beings. What constitutes sawab for me as a human being means that I become a better human being. I achieve hikmat. That means my aql grows. If my aql grows, then I have been rewarded with that action. With everything else that I count as sawab, for example, in this dunya, some reward is like getting a good salary or, you know, becoming popular in this dunya. That's the kind of rewards we are looking for in this dunya. If we look the same kind of sawab in akhirat, well, this is not really a human perfection. Human perfection is not about these things. Human perfection is about what makes me a human being. What makes me a human being is to understand what is right. Alaykum salam. And to discover the haqq. Discover the haqq as things really are. And to find out the right way to do things. That is the path of haqq. To choose the right action to do. These are the things. And in being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I basically achieve some of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete knowledge of everything and complete power over everything, right? And His attributes and His af'al are all perfect. I achieve some of those qualities in myself. This makes me a better human being. If I am becoming a better human, that means I am being rewarded. If I am becoming that kind of human being in this world, then I am being rewarded right now. And if I am in the same way, if it continues in the next life, then I am being rewarded in the next life as well. Haqq is a very important subject in this surah. And all over Quran and Hadith, Haqq. From a purely, you know, rational perspective, what really is Haqq? People generally are divided in this issue of Haqq, you know, what is right. A lot of people consider Haqq, that is the right thing to do, you know. They believe Haqq is that thing which is popular. If something is popular, mashhur, ma'roof, it is Haqq. If something is not popular, it is batil. So they look around what people are saying. If people accept something, then they say, this is right, this must be right. You know? If something became popular, as they say, it's haq, you know. Right now, for example, in this country, hijab is not popular. So they say this is wrong. It's wrong, batil. If you were in a Muslim country, you say hijab is popular. If it's a religious country, you say hijab is popular, it's haq over there. Here it is batil because it is not known, it's not mashhoor, it's not popular. If you say somebody, would you want to cover yourself? She won't like it. Christian, you know, non-Muslim. So some Muslims get into the same trap. Their mindset becomes like this. They grow up thinking that whatever is popular is right. If something is not popular, it is wrong. Being a little modest, for example, bahaya, you know, being a little modest in this society does not have any place. There's no such concept as being haya, you know, sharmu haya. Having sense of shame. You'll find yourself, women, men, talking about everything, everywhere. The way they show on TV, the way the media brings up these stories about people, you know, how they proudly they boast about their wrongdoings and everything, you know. Yeah, the way media glorifies evil and bad things. Haya is not a good, not a something known to them. For example, if you ask them, if a non-Muslim asks a Muslim woman, why do you cover yourself? And the, for example, the lady says, because I want to be modest. Well, say, oh, I see. It doesn't really understand. What does that mean, to be modest? What does that mean? This is no concept of... Because yeah, there's some level of modesty in every society. For example, if someone is caught doing something wrong and you bring him in the media, you know, he feels embarrassed. To this level, there is some level of modesty. That's about it. Different degrees of modesty. But they don't understand, how does modesty relate to you covering your hair, for example? Covering your head? Or for a man to dress up, you know, modestly? Not wear everything everywhere. And in fact, in public, even a man is supposed to wear modest clothes, cover himself properly. You know, it is in the culture of haya, culture of modesty, which is promoted by Islam and all Abrahamic faiths, because it's human nature that covering goes with modesty. If you have a sense of modesty, then you cover yourself up. If you don't have a sense of modesty, you won't understand, why should I cover myself? Like most people around here, you know. Why should I cover myself? Modest? I don't understand. What's modesty? Nobody talks about modesty here. And how does that relate to dress? You know. But it's in human nature. That's why they still feel embarrassed in certain situations. You feel people who are not modest, if you bring out some of their issues, you know, they do feel embarrassed. So they say, it is not popular in this country, so there's no need to be modest. Boast to show, to program, talk about your accomplishments and, you know, I did this and I am this and I am that. It's a very popular thing in this country. Now we come from, some of us, you know, I migrated to this country, they're not used to saying so much I, you know, I am this and I do, I don't like it and I like it. They say, well, they think in their mind, for example, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? This is not say I. They, before think saying I, they think, you know, what does Allah say? Is this a good thing? But here it's like, what do you feel? Whatever you say, it's good for you. Whatever I say is good for me. Everybody for himself. Everyone can make up a religion, a philosophy, a way of thinking and go by that. And that's okay. It's no one's business to determine, for example, what is right and what is wrong. Because right and wrong change from one person to another. What this person likes is good for him. What the next person next to him likes is good for that person. So this is the haq is that which is popular. If it's popular, if it's somebody's personal opinion, is his own, relative. You know, modesty, they say, morals, relative morality. Relativism, they say. Moral issues, they change from one person to other, to the next. They're different. Another misconception about haq is, they say, haq is that thing which wins. That which wins, you know. If it wins, it is right. If it loses, it is wrong. For example, if you invade a country
and you take all his resources and kill millions of people, and finally, you know, you achieve all your goals, you're right. A lot of people think this is okay, it's right. Fir'aun, he said, I am the Rabb, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, I am your biggest Lord. And he stood by that till his last breath. He stood by this. He thought he was right, and he never changed his view. Now some people say, well, Fir'aun, you know, when he got into that sea and the water came upon him and he was drowning, basically he said, I believe. What did he really believe in? He did not change his logic. He believed the winner is right. Right? So as long as he was winning, he said, I am the God. Then he thought, Musa is winning now. So Musa must be right. So his God is right and my God is wrong. His logic never changed. He thought the winner is right. Same was true with Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan never believed in Islam. Now, when the Holy Prophet of Islam, he marched with 10,000 Muslims toward Makkah, and Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, he brought Abu Sufyan over this hill to see this whole desert covered with Muslim army, you know. And he was overwhelmed to see, he had never seen in his life such a huge army. It was night time, so there were flames and light all over the desert. He couldn't believe his eyes, so many. So Abbas, the Prophet's uncle, you know, he said to Abu Sufyan, why don't you come with me? Let's talk, like negotiate, you know. Because as a politician, they do negotiate, you know. They compromise, we have to strike a deal, because, you know, elections coming close, we have to make right arrangements, so any whatever. So he came, Abu Sufyan came to see the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet asked him, I'm just narrating you the gist of the meeting, the riwayat I don't remember. Holy Prophet asked him, Abu Sufyan, isn't it time for you to believe in God? So Abu Sufyan said, yes, if my God was right, you know, if my God was right, then I would have won. Now since I am losing and you are the winner, then your God is right. You see? His logic never changed. But when the Holy Prophet said, do you believe in me as a prophet, he didn't accept that. He just said, well, God, it's about God, you know. So your God is okay because you are the winner right now. And this is opposite of reality. Because the right thing, many people don't understand it. They don't follow it. They don't support it because of their material things, because of their attachment to this dunya. They compromise on the right thing, and very often sometimes a small group of people wins over a large group of people, but sometimes a small group of people, when they're not, you know, everybody comes against them, sometimes they apparently, you know, they lose. But actually, the logic and the message wins, but they lose. So in the eyes of people who think like this, like Abu Sufyan, and who think like Fir'aun, in their eyes, Imam Hussein alayhi salam lost the battle. But this is because their way of understanding what's right and wrong is different. This is what they think. The winner is right, that's what they think. The third misconception about this issue is people who think the right is that thing which is profitable. For example, open a casino, you make $1 million, you are okay. You're right. Go about gambling and do whatever comes to your mind, and as long as you are winning, making money, as long as the business is profitable, you're right. You did the right thing. I had to send my kids to college. I had to buy a house. I had to buy a car. I had to sell, beer and wine. How could I buy a house without selling this stuff? They say if it makes money, it was the right decision at the time. That's what they say. It was the right decision at the time. I had to do this kind of stuff so I can make money. because I had to make my ends meet, so I did it. So they justify, when they say it was the right decision, it means it was haq. There can't be two opposite things and haq at the same time. One of those two opposites has to be haq. It's quite possible both things are wrong, but sometimes one thing is right, the opposite has to be wrong. Both things can be right. If I say right now it's daytime, either I'm right or I'm wrong, because it's either day outside or it's night outside. So, you see, this is the issue, these three misconceptions. But the right view about the situation, the haq is that thing which corresponds to reality. Haq is neither the profitable thing, haq is nor the winner, haq is nor the popular thing. The measure, the criterion, mayar, milak of doing what is haq and what is not, is none of these. It is to know whether this matches up with reality or it does not. Just as, for example, to say, for example, such a gas is poisonous or it's not. Now, either it's poisonous, so it will harm you and it will kill you, or if it's not poisonous. So how do I know, for example, if I say that particular ammonium or some gas is, you know, it's poisonous or it's not? You will just go and check. If it is poisonous, it will show in action. We'll experiment and you will know. Right? If it is poisonous, you will find out it's poisonous, and then your word, what you said, corresponds to reality the way it is, and it is haq. If it does not, then what I say is batil, because my claim could not be verified. Has to be verified. And to verify anything, the way is approach to verify something is a different, you know, different ways to verify that. It's a long discussion. You don't have time for that right now. But you see, this is watawasaw bil haqqi. The mu'mineen, the true believers who are not in khusran al-mubeen, who are not at a loss, are people who are able to know what is haqq, which is the biggest and the, you know, challenge in human life, to know what is right. Because that's where everybody loses. Because they are looking at the person next to them. My friend said this is wrong, so it must be wrong. So many people in my workplace say I should not pray praying here, so I don't pray. So many people, well, in those times, I'm just wrapping up, in those times of early Islam, what those individuals, they got together in Saqifa and they chose the other guy to be the Khalifa. And then they forced everybody else to accept it. Well, everybody, you know, one by one, they all fell in line and everybody accepted. It was the popular thing. Well, they won this battle to become a Khalifa. They won this, you know, Khalifa Zahiri. So people said, well, you know, what could we do? It was decided, it was done, so we accepted it, you know. How many people truly ask themselves, what is haq? Who deserves to be the ruler of human beings? Forget about even Muslims. What kind of a human being deserves to be a ruler over other human beings? That is the question. And they are not even concerned about this. Not even interested in answering this question. This even doesn't even occur to their mind, because their mind is blocked, their thinking is blocked by their material interests. Their you know, the way they cannot even get themselves to think. Even to be able to think, you need a certain awareness. They say yaqza in Arabic, you know, bidari. The level of awareness needed, awakening needed to even think. Material pleasures don't even allow a person to go that way. It just blocks all channels towards haq. Even the question does not seem any important, you see. Seems like a meaningless question. Why you guys worry so much about religion, you know? We are good people, we don't have to be religious to be good people. But this kind of good people is only for this dunya. Mubarakatun Bash. This is only for this dunya. They will die, they will find out what happens on the other side. Completely different. Because they are doing good thing, not because they are smart, it's because Allah gave human beings a fitrah. To some level is awake in some everyone. So there are the people who's awake a little bit, they go ahead and do something good with it. And naturally, for a person to do this, make this effort, and go ahead and research what is haq, he will have difficulties. Well, inshallah, Allah accept this from all of us, and taqabbalallahu a'malakum, salawat.